Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we have a special edition interview ahead of the NWSL semifinals, but first, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. Also, you can head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe to youtube.com/attackingthird so you never miss a thing. On today's episode, we are joined by Morgan Gautreaux, two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion, midfielder for the United States Women's National Team and Chicago Red Stars, and semi-final bound. Morgan Gautreaux, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Pretty good.
We're hyped to have you. You know me, I'm always hyped to talk about all things Chicago. So congratulations on making it into the postseason. Congrats on the big win over Gotham FC last week to move on into the semifinals of NWSL. So I guess just to sort of start things off very easily, how are you feeling making it back into this postseason?
We're feeling great. You know, it's kind of strange having three games in the playoffs now. It's kind of a bit of a new thing. So for us, it was almost like business as usual. You know, we want to get here. This is the goal, is to get to the final. So to win this playoff game is kind of just, we expected it. We wanted it. It's always been our goal the whole year. So, you know, for us, it was, especially people who have been on this team and have been to the playoffs and made far runs, it almost just felt like, okay, you know, that was done, but now we're moving on to the next one.
One game down, hopefully two more to go for you guys. But I want to go back to the game against Gotham just a little bit and kind of pick your brain on this one. Mallory Pugh, she gets the goal in around the 61st minute. So second half action, second half magic was there for you guys. Take me into the locker room at halftime. What kind of happened? What were the discussions there to come out in the second half and just a few minutes in, 15 or so minutes in, get that go-ahead goal against Gotham?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting game. Some of us were saying it was probably the most interesting game we played all year for a lot of reasons. It was very much a chess match, we felt, especially trying to basically neutralize each other's midfields. And I felt like, you know, even having Scott as the coach on the other side, who's been around this team quite a bit this year, it was interesting to kind of see the game plans unfold on both sides. And I think a little bit in the first half, we were trying to play into almost their game plan. I think in the second half, we made some tweaks and changes and tried to exploit what they were trying to take away. And so I think for us, it was a much better second half for a number of reasons. But yeah, I think for us, anytime we get a goal like that, we do really well in terms of momentum shifts and being able to stay on top of teams.
Maybe just looking ahead a little bit now in terms of what that win meant for the team, just meant that you have to go on the road now to Portland and face the Thorns, Shield winners. They've been racking up a lot of titles in this 2021 season. How are the Red Stars sort of preparing for this Thorns team ahead of the semifinals as opposed to preparing for a team like Gotham?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it's kind of every single week is similar in terms of preparation and no matter who we're playing. Obviously there's film, there's breaking it down, analyzing ourselves and then trying to get better. And obviously focusing on ourselves a lot, but I do think, heading into the weekend, we'll, you know, what are we now, 30 something games into the season. So for us, it's just fine tuning things and being focused. And obviously with the playoffs, there's just that heightened awareness of what we're doing and what these games mean. And so I think for us, we're just going to continue to do what we've been doing all year. And obviously last time we were at Providence Park, it didn't go so well for us. So I think we're, you know, have that little bit of edge and chip on our shoulders and going back there.
For yourself personally, you know, this is Chicago's sixth consecutive appearance to an NWSL semifinal. For you, it's going to be your fourth participation with the team. Have you found any like differences in preparations now in 2021 versus maybe in semifinals past with this roster?
Yeah, I think there's a core group that have been to a lot of playoffs in this team. And I think you can feel that around the group. It's almost kind of a feeling of we've all been here for the most part, and you can experience it, especially with my first experience in the playoffs. I remember it was, you know, I was with the Dash before, who I don't think have made the playoffs. And so it was definitely a new experience. And I think there's definitely a bunch of players on this team who haven't experienced that yet, but for the most part, the core group and people who have been here for a long time have. And I think that you can feel that amongst the group. And it was great in terms of Mal and Kalia and some others who haven't gotten experience in the playoffs to get that in this past game. And I think that's kind of done and dusted, and hopefully we can move forward from that. And obviously we have a great team and a great group of players who are very experienced in a bunch of different big games and big game environments.
You are a midfielder for Chicago, and as you alluded to before, in a lot of matches, it comes down to neutralizing the midfielder, seeing which midfield can battle and come out on top. So there's a lot of individual battles that happen throughout the 90 minutes, but also midfield battles as a unit. So when you look at your midfield compadres, Sarah Waldmo, Vanessa DiBernardo, Danny Colaprico, all those other players that you play with alongside in the midfield, ahead of a semifinal match like this, what are those conversations between the other middies on Chicago?
Honestly, it's kind of dependent on the match. And I feel like, especially as a midfield group, you have to morph into what the game needs from you. Especially in my position, sometimes I, you know, need to be more defensive. Sometimes I can get more into the attack, and vice versa with even some of the other midfielders on the team. So I think sometimes it's just realizing what the game needs from you at the moment. And, you know, especially there's a lot of ins and outs in terms of playing home or away, or who you're playing, an opponent, and how they play. So I think for us, it's just been, we have focused a lot on being defensive minded, and I think being really tough to break down and really hard to beat. And I think since we've focused on that a lot, and we have been very hard to break down and tough to beat defensively, especially in the midfield. And obviously I think we're attacking minded players at heart and love to do that. So I think that's what comes easier to us. But at the same time, I think we focused on both sides of the ball a lot and tried to bring our best selves, because like you said, if your midfields are doing well and they're running, your team is running through them, then you have a good chance of winning a game.
I'm glad you brought up the defensive aspect for Chicago, because just sort of maybe narrowing in on the recent form for the Red Stars, you know, it's been narrow scorelines. It's been defensive shutouts, you know, 1-0 scorelines heading into the quarterfinal for Chicago. How would you evaluate sort of the communication between the midfield and the back line? How has that developed throughout the course of this year?
Yeah, I think it's developed in a large way. I think we have really progressed, and I think it's probably the most improved part of our game and our team this year. And when you look at the beginning form of our team versus to where we are now, like I said, we're very hard to break down. And I think that comes from communication first between the back line and the midfield, and just having an awareness and understanding of each other's strengths and weaknesses, and kind of all being on the same page of knowing exactly what we want to do defensively. But like you said, I think for us, we've been extremely tough defensively to play against. And at the same time, I feel like we've created a lot of good chances and sure chances. But I think that for us moving forward, those sure chances that we do create, we need to start putting away for sure, and to be a good playoff team going in and take those chances when we have them, because like you said, we've really focused defensively. And then to obviously, once we get the ball, be dangerous going forward. And I think we've done a good job of both of those things, and we've put away our chances better as the season's gone on.
Talk to me a little bit about maybe the, the individual, like, chemistry between maybe Sarah Gordon and yourself, just sort of her as that right center back. She's really kind of emerged as a bit of a leader for the team, kind of on and off the pitch in recent years. And you yourself, you know, you've worn the armband a few times for the team on the pitch. And for Sarah, you know, she's a current Defender of the Year candidate. How big is that relationship sort of been in terms of the spine on the pitch between the two of you?
Yeah, I think it's been massive. And, you know, for us, it's been probably, if we're playing games, her and I have played probably the most together consistently between midfields and the backs. So I think for us, we've been able to create a really good chemistry on the field, you know, and communication wise, she knows exactly what I need from her and I know what she needs from me. And I think we do well to kind of play off each other in that sense. But I would say that I think our spine between Tierna and, you know, people who have played in the back line and Sarah Gordon and Sarah Waldmo and others who have played in those positions have almost created that really four block right there that's really tough to get into and tough to break down. So I think, you know, just Sarah and her presence, her speed, and obviously Tierna the same. And just like Sarah Waldmo, I think she's done amazing coming here. And I think Dani as well, when she's come in and everyone's been really good together. And I think obviously playing with each other for a longer period of time has helped build that chemistry.
Defensively, it is a lock, like you mentioned, but also higher up the pitch, Chicago's been able to put away a lot more chances, especially in the second half of this season. And particularly for me, I look at a player like Mallory Pugh, who's been able to grow and really find a little bit of freedom and creativity in the attack to put away her chances and even get shots on goal. For you, as her teammate who plays behind her, maybe a little bit more defensively behind her, what have you seen from Mallory Pugh and how she's grown and improved as a player throughout this season?
Yeah, I think she's been, you know, very good for us for a number of reasons. But I think, like you said, she does a great job of finding those pockets and turning and then, you know, using her speed and her technical ability to pretty much dice through teams and create chances for us, and which has been, was huge. And I think, you know, Kalia up there as well, and Rachel Hill, Mackenzie Donia, Katie Johnson, all the people who have come in up top have played well off of her, you know, and made runs and allowed her to exploit the space that people leave. So I think, yeah, she's done very well. And I think towards the end of the season, now she's getting more and more comfortable around the box and being able to finish those chances, which has been huge for our team.
Morgan, we like to sort of close out our interviews here for these playoff edition episodes with a little bit of fun. And I think for, you know, Chicago being one of the teams that have had to kind of face, you know, potentially three games in front of them, as opposed to just heading on straight into the semifinal, we've been asking everybody who's been coming on in terms of like their special preparation for the playoffs, a number of different fun questions. So for you as yourself, you've had experience in preparing for playoffs. Is there something outside of getting to the pitch, getting to trainings, going in scrimmages that you have to have as part of your NWSL playoff experience? Is there a meal that you have to have? Is there a go-to snack that you immediately have to hit up pre or post training? Like, let us know.
Honestly, no. I really have always told myself that I don't want to get into a routine or like superstitions, because if they don't happen, then you kind of stress yourself out or you think about it. So to me, I say, let's just go with it. We free flow and what happens, happens. And that's how I've always kind of been with that stuff.
Do you have preference for like a pregame meal or like a postgame meal? Not anything superstitious, but just like something you're like, yeah, this fuels me up. Or like, I love a cheeseburger after the final whistle.
Yeah, I would say if I'm home, I always go to real, real good food. Okay. So that's my pregame meal, which has been my go-to this year before games.
Okay. I'm not from Chicago. What is this?
It's like a really healthy smoothie like place, but it has bowls and yeah, it's just like a healthier place that you can go get food or juices or smoothies or anything like that.
I'm just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's that. And I've had that before every home game. So, but obviously you can't have that on the road. So that's the reason why I don't get stuck on something, because you can't always have it on the road or, you know, the same. So
it's true though. You got to mix it up. You got to keep it fresh. I do have a follow-up to maybe sort of close out. Another thing that is sort of, is that Milo?
Do we have a cameo from a dog? We have a cameo. Adorable.
He was waiting for me to be
That's
done.
So funny because the follow-up was going to be, how is Milo preparing for a playoff?
He's preparing. We're going to leave him here with someone to watch him, and hopefully they put a jersey on him and he cheers for us.
I love that. Fantastic. Exciting. You know, something that sort of followed you early in the beginning of this season as a bit of a joke was the nickname of the Butcher. And I'm just curious if now in November, because that was really early in the season, has that still followed you this season?
It's more of a joke between teams. So no, I think I have hopefully lost that name. Because for me, I had a lot of yellow cards in the beginning of the season. And then, you know, I never hit the five through the rest of the year. So I guess it kind of trailed off, which is probably, but it is a running joke within the team. And it is pretty funny.
Delightful. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us and listening today. We want to thank you, Morgan, for joining us on the podcast. Good luck this weekend. Thanks to Morgan Gautreaux. Now hear from her semifinal midfield competition, Angela Salem from the Portland Thorns.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode, we are joined by Angela Salem, the midfielder for Portland Thorns and 2021 MVP candidate. Welcome to the show, Angela. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are super hyped to chat with you. We've been covering the league so closely this year, and Portland specifically, constantly picking up results, doing amazing things on and off the pitch. Congratulations on winning the NWSL Shield with Portland, clinching the number one spot and the bye week. So I guess just like the top heavy question, just long season for you with Portland, going all the way, stemming all the way back, you know, in February preseason. This is the longest NWSL season for many players. I'm sure you can attest to that as someone who has been in the league since its inaugural season. So in your perspective, you know, from way back early in 2021 to now heading into the semifinals, how has the journey been for you?
And so for this year is what you're talking about, since the beginning of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. This has been a really long season. I think everyone kind of feels that right now too. It's just, we know it's like the home stretch, but, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to think how far we've come. And obviously with preseason looking a little different, and it was like a really long preseason, and then having the Challenge Cup, which is actually it was like five or six, you know, more additional games on top of the 24 game season. So it definitely takes its toll a little bit. And then with the ICC tournament that we had with two more games. So it's been quite a journey. I think it's been really cool though, because all of this has presented opportunities for a lot of different players to play in the games, which I think is really important. And then to win the Shield and feel all that hard work since the beginning of the season and to kind of like rest and recover a little bit before the semis has been like really important for this team. And yeah, it's been quite a journey, but it's been fun with this group.
Quite a journey, a long season that you really did attest to. And traditionally Portland, top of the table team, winning the Shield and being really successful throughout this season. How is Portland so consistent, so successful? What's the secret sauce and the ingredient here?
Oh man. Well, I do feel like our journey started like last year with like a lot of new players and a new formation. And I think people saw a struggle a little bit in the Challenge Cup last year because it was new. And then the fall series, we started to kind of put it all together. And then coming into this year, our team really wanted to build off of that. And then in addition to that, we were very like culture focused heavy with like good players, good people, like what are our values? Like what are our goals? Like what do we want to achieve? And then there's just this complete buy-in from the team and the staff. And I just think this group is truly special and we genuinely like one another. And just having that kind of support and environment is, yeah, it just, I think, makes everyone better. And I think you can kind of see that with the results because it hasn't been easy. Like we've definitely been up and down too, but we've been able to pull through. And I think that's what's, yeah, made Portland special this year.
You know, when looking at this 2021 regular season, I'm sure you can attest to this because you've had a lot of playing experience in this league and had a lot of different looks with different clubs, right? But something about this season that we've all been paying attention to has been some of the parity, which has often been the conversation around NWSL. It's always touted as like the most competitive league in the world, right? But we saw these playoffs sort of get settled in these final like 2 weeks of the season, really. So I was wondering if you could just sort of maybe give me your perspective on sort of bearing witness to this kind of back and forth between so many teams in the competition.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's been a crazy year, but I think it's like so exciting for the league because I just think the competition is so strong across every team, which just shows also like the growth of the league, the growth of the players. And I think, yeah, you're starting to see like more new faces and younger players who also are now getting the experience. And you never know what, like every game is a hard game and it doesn't matter where anyone is in the table. And I feel like this year, especially, it's like you don't ever go into games thinking like, oh, we got this. It's like, all right, we're going to have to battle and like fight for this. And I just think that's really cool because it just shows the level of talent in this league. And then I think moving forward, it's just going to keep growing. It's like awesome for the growth of the league moving forward.
So narrowing in a little bit on these playoffs, the Thorns clinch that Shield finally, right? Secure number one seed. What that means is ultimately you guys get to host the home playoff and earn that bye week, right? Which we've heard, we spoke to Jess Fishlock a little bit about it and she kind of joked about the importance at her age of having that bye week and then what it feels like. So,
I get it.
so talk to us a little bit about it. Like, does that bye week for someone like you or other players on the team, how essential or unessential is that? Or what were you up to? Did you just sort of use it as some time to like relax a little bit? Did you get a chance to catch up on some reading? What was the end of the bye week like?
Oh man. I mean, I just think one, it's just like incredible to win the Shield. You know, I think like I've been playing for so long now, and this is only the second time I've been able to win that. So I think just in general, it's just an incredibly difficult thing to do. So, but having said that, that also takes like a toll on your body, and especially the last, I think like 2 weeks of the season was wild for everyone because of the rescheduled game. So it's like we had three or four games smashed into 2 weeks. So I think everyone was feeling, you know, a little run down, little injuries, especially like Jess said, as an older player, you kind of like need a little bit of a break to recover and feel better. But I think our team has really just taken this time to like focus on ourselves and start kind of getting sharper in certain areas that we know that we need to get sharper in, and just kind of build confidence and build off what we can do and what we bring, and are just really taking the focus for ourselves to get better, to recover, to feel good, so that when we train this week, then we can kind of start to focus on Chicago a little bit more.
A little bit of rest, a little bit of ice bath, eating really well.
Yes. With training and starting to like get your touches and your groove back, and it's go time again.
It is all part of the plan, and really a nice week that Portland and you have to rest and have that little bit of recovery. But now as you and your team start to get back into the thick of training and preparing for a semifinal match, what's kind of the vibe around the training room and on the practice pitch now that it's a little bit of that crunch time, go time ahead of the semifinal?
Yeah, I mean, we just came back. We had yesterday off, so we just came back in today, and I feel like the energy was so great. I think everyone's really excited. I think there's also this level of relief knowing who we're playing now, because before it's like, we don't know who we're playing. How do we prepare? What are we expecting? But now, like, we know. So we can start to really focus on what we're going to train during the week. So I just think everyone's really excited, and just having a home game and playing in front of our fans is also really special. So we know it's going to be a hard game. We know that it's going to be like a battle, but to do that at home and to compete for, a semifinal win is really special. So it's been really good energy starting today.
Looking at things maybe from like the midfield perspective, right? Going, looking at the opposition for the Chicago Red Stars, do you feel like there's similar threats there in terms of how the midfields operate, or do you feel like that maybe there's some more opportunity there for the Thorns as you guys go up against Chicago?
Yeah, well, Chicago's midfield is incredible, and they're really experienced as well. So I think it's just going to be a really good battle in there. They did change their tactics against us, like the last time we played them, which presented a different picture that we struggled to, solve pretty early. It wasn't our best game. So I think it's, one of those games where we know going in, we're going to have to be sharp. We're going to have to, be on our top game and focus, because they have a quality midfield. They're really good at like receiving on the half turn. That's what I've noticed a lot. They combine well to each other, and they're kind of in this groove right now too, where they're winning games and doing really well. So I think it'll present a really good challenge, but one that I know our midfield is up for, and that's kind of what we get excited about. So yeah, I think it'll be really exciting to be a part of, and probably for fans to see.
Mark Parsons and your teammates have all sang your praises this year in terms of that midfield and sort of helping anchor it and hold things down. And all of a sudden it sort of led to some more chatter about MVP candidacy. And then the list comes out for official MVP candidates. And your name is across with four other players in the league. So first, again, congratulations on that. But, maybe what were some of your thoughts when you saw your name on that list?
Oh gosh. Yeah. So I got like the email the night before it was released, and I like froze, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, what? So I had to reread it again. I'm like, am I reading this right? So I was definitely in shock. I just think, I understand my role as a player, and it's not one that always stands out, and it's not flashy, and I'm not scoring a lot of goals. And I think if you look at the list, I feel like I'm definitely the outlier, because I'm not like an attacking player. I'm a defensive mid. But I just think it's just really cool to be recognized in that position. And I think my teammates and like the fans have done an awesome job kind of highlighting the things that I do. And I just feel really grateful to just be in the mix. It's really cool. And for it to come so long after, like, I've been in the league, it's like really weird timing, but it's been really nice. But obviously, I think the team has helped put me in this position. So really, it's all thanks to them.
I mean, you said it best, Angela. It's not often that defenders get highlighted for all their great work. I'm a former defender, so I understand it's so much of the nitty gritty that goes into it. Is it a little bit like, you're so humble and modest about how you do, but when you look at all of the work any defensive midfielder does in the game of soccer, specifically across this league against other opposing midfielders that have such attacking presence? Is it kind of like, yeah, let's shed a little light on the defensive middies in the league, right?
Yeah, no, I think there's this like underlying respect that all defensive mids have for each other. We're like, we got this, you know, but I do think like teams for as long as I played, like all of my teammates have like appreciated me, I feel like, and they acknowledge things that I do. And I can imagine that happens for like every defensive mid on their teams. And yeah, I think it's really cool. I think there's also this like understanding of the game that a lot of people have now that's like, you know, defensive mids are, this is their role and this is how it's done. And if you can do it at a really high quality, it allows other people to be able to do what they do. And it's the same with defenders. Like you mentioned, like defenders do incredible jobs all the time. And I feel like they might not get the recognition they deserve to. So yeah, it's been really cool to be a part of.
Well, the league shedding a little bit of light, nominating you and having you be one of the MVP finalists, but also the Rose City Riveters. You were named the Supporter of the Year for them. A huge accomplishment. How did that come about? How did you hear about that, get that award? Tell us a little bit about receiving that and hearing that from the supporters group.
Oh, I get so uncomfortable when I talk about these things. That one was really, really cool. Just because I feel like a lot, like my teammates too, like kind of put that out there, and just to feel support from your teammates. And then for like the city, like one, like Portland, it's, I'm sure there was like so many votes, you know, and I think I've been getting some attention with how I've been playing, but I think there's so many other players on our team who have been like exceptional this year. And so I know, like, I'm sure there was a ton of other people voted for that. And so to be chosen as the one was like really cool for me, just because I do think our team is incredible and there's so many people who could have won it. So yeah, that was definitely a surprise. That was really awesome.
Here's maybe like a better thing. I noticed that like for sometimes players like to talk more about their teammates versus actually talking about themselves a little bit. And like the timing of us sitting down and having a chat with you, the U.S. roster recently got released for the Australian games. Bella Bixby getting a call up there. It's going to be the first time she's kind of getting into the mix here. She's somebody that has really grown up really just with this Portland Thorns side, has had to step into a very important role as goalkeeper on the pitch. For you all, can you speak a little bit to sort of how that relationship with the goalkeeper, the defensive back line, and you as a D-mid has sort of evolved over this 2021 season?
Yeah. So Bella is incredible. I'm like super pumped for her and Morgan, because Morgan also got a first call up. But I have been here since Bella's gone here, and just to see her evolve as a goalkeeper has been super cool, just because you saw it in her first year, like how incredibly talented she was and how much potential she has. And then obviously with Nadine's coaching, she's just kind of like thrived and like taken off. And I think, you know, when they traded AD, I feel like Bella knew like I need to like step up and like cement myself and like take on this new leadership role for the team. And I think she totally embraced that, which is a really like scary and hard thing to do, especially because she's still really young. But to see her like become more confident, to be more comfortable, to start like commanding the back line and like me a lot like vocally has been a really cool experience, and she's made everyone better. And it's just this feeling when she's in the net, like she's just going to grab everything or she's going to stop everything. And as a player, that's like super validating, because you're not like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? It's like, she's going to get it. And I have confidence in that. So I'm so excited for her. I think the call up is so deserved, and she's going to do an incredible job. And she's also a really good person, which like tops it off.
Right on. We've been having these playoff interviews with all kinds of different players on Attacking Third in preparation for all of the games coming up. And we've been sort of having some fun to close out the episode. So for you, we're also going to present some of the similar questions. But in terms of going into a big game like this, a semifinal, an NWSL playoff game, is there something that's part of your playoff preparation or just even general game day preparation that is like essential? Do you what is like the one snack you have to have like pre or post training or something, maybe a superstition that you kind of carry with you throughout this kind of stuff?
Right. It's a Starbucks cold brew. Every night it's like, I have my coffee in the morning, I have breakfast, and then come like 5 p.m. if it's a 7 o'clock game, like I need to have my cold brew. And then team like makes fun of me because I start to hit a high like in the locker room and I'm like, you know, all energetic. So that is the one thing that I need to have on game day every time.
Oh, wow. You love to hear. Look, if the Rose City Riveters awarded you with player of the year, I hope they're listening and they also like reward you with some cold brew for the next day. I want to thank everybody for joining us and listening to us today. I want to thank you, Angela Sanford, for joining us. Good luck this weekend. Quick reminder for everyone to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're available as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back Friday with more playoff buildup and preview of the semifinals this Sunday, November 14th for Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, and Angela Salem. This was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.